Good morning. I'm not Larnell Dickerson. He didn't make it. I'm set to read the scripture here. Acts 2:33-39. Being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this, which you see and hear. For David ascended not unto the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God has made him thus Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call unto him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Good morning again. I just love y'all. Right now, I got the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. And I'm not really sure who is it that's going to lead me to say what I'm about to say. Ain't it really sexy when two grown men get up here singing? I'm sitting there and I'm listening to these two men of God pouring out to God. And I'm thinking, wow. And I'm thinking, Mr. Boland, where you been? Amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you. Well, the scripture verses for this morning have already been read. And the part that we tend to remember the most is that part that says, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's almost like saying, okay, so what's up? What shall we do? And Peter responded, repent, be baptized, and receive Holy Spirit. The interesting thing about this particular scripture is that in the sequence of events, not repent, baptize, receive, right, there's something that's missing. And what I want to do is I want to interject a little something that is so important that as believers, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we can't survive without it. And that one thing I'm going to interject is the place for prayer. Amen? Amen? So Lord God, our Father in heaven, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come into your holy presence, great God in heaven, thanking you for this opportunity to listen to your word. And what we pray, great God, at this time is that your word will come forth powerfully, that you would remove me, my opinions, my thoughts out of the way so that you can be heard. Because all glory and all power needs to be yours. So we give it up now, great God, in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. In the book of Luke chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, turn there. And you can read the passage on your own from 1 until 13. But there was one specific part of that passage that I want to focus on. And the passage basically says that one day, Jesus was praying. Now, we know that it's been Jesus' habit to pray continually. He even encouraged us, pray continually. But this one day, he was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Lord, teach us to pray just as John had taught his disciples. Now, the interesting thing here is that, and there are many commentators who speak about this, but the interesting thing here is that this specific disciple, whoever he was, he never asked, "Lord, teach me to preach." He never said, "Lord, teach me how to heal people." Hallelujah. He never said, "Lord, teach me to raise the dead." But what did he ask? He says, "Teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Now, just as a reminder, there were a few of John's disciples who became Jesus' disciples. And throughout the period of time that these disciples were with Jesus, there was something that they found in prayer that led this disciple to ask the question, to ask Jesus to teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Now, of course, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what it was, but I can speculate. Because as we speculate, one of the things that we look at is we look at the life of Jesus Christ. And we look at a lot of the things that he said to his disciples. We looked at the teachings that he taught them. And one of the things that came across pretty clearly was that, and these were Jesus' words, "I can do nothing by myself. That everything that I do is because of the Father." So that led the disciples now to basically see the importance that a relationship with God the Father had in their prayer. How important was prayer? Because every time Jesus was about to do something, he prayed. He literally lived a life of prayer. John 11, verse 41 to 42. And this is an example of Jesus and when he raised Lazarus from the dead. The scripture talks about, he says, "So they took away the stone." This is after Jesus came. And remember, how late, well, I shouldn't say late, but when did Jesus come? Did he come right when they thought he should come? Did he come right at the point where they thought he should deliver or he should heal? No. He came in his own good time, which is actually the right time, right? So at his own time, which was the Father's time, they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you that you have heard me." Jesus never pointed towards himself, you know? He never, "Look at what I did. Look at my power." Continually he pointed to the Father. And he said, "Thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me." Jesus was already assured. Why? Because of that relationship that he had with the Father. He knew that God has heard him. So people ask, well, why would he pray to God and he already know that God heard him? And here's the answer. "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So it's not for Jesus' purpose that these things were done. It's for our purpose. Prayer is the important part in this particular part of Jesus' life, in all parts of Jesus' life. He continually went to God in prayer. Let's look at a few instances. I don't know if you all can keep up with me on your Bibles, but the first one is Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven opened." Could you imagine? You are one of the disciples there, and you are one of the followers of John. You are one of the followers of the Word. And he's baptized. He starts to pray, and all of a sudden there's, ta-da! The heavens open up. Is there anyone that you can think of? I mean, stretch your memory, stretch your mind. Is there anyone apart from Jesus that you can think of that has that type of power? But yet, even when Jesus did it, he says, you know, it's not my power. It's God. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was done. So we don't know how long he was there, but basically it gives the impression that he was there a while. Now, I know sometimes when I get onto my knees, you know, I can't wait to get up. I guess I'm the only one in this room that has that problem. Okay? I kneel, and it's like, oh, I got this to do, I got that to do. But here, he stayed there for a period of time. And this is the example that he set for his disciples. Mark chapter 6, verse 46 says, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Is prayer important? It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. Again, another example of Jesus going up to the mountain, his place of seclusion, one-on-one time with God. And he spent the whole night in prayer. Another scripture, Mark 1, verse 35 says that in the early morning, while it was still dark, wow. You mean people actually get up before the sun rises to pray? While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I mean, and we can go on and on with examples of Jesus praying. But the point here is, the disciples saw that there was a connection between prayer and God the Father. They saw the connection between prayer, God the Father, and that relationship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, and that relationship that we can have with God the Father through prayer. But they also saw that it was through prayer that Jesus himself was able to do these miracles. That it was through prayer that Jesus received power and authority, because he says that, you know, I can do nothing of myself. It is not my will, but my Father's will. So it's through prayer that he received power and authority to raise the dead, to heal the sight of a blind man, to heal the leper, to restore hearing to the deaf, to bring peace. So, I mean, we can go and we can pray, God, give me the power of healing. God, give me this power. God, give me that power. But you see, without prayer itself and without that relationship with God, everything else is insignificant. It starts and it ends with God. And our access to that power is only through prayer. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, we read here in Luke chapter 1, it says that it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he was finished, one of his disciples asked him, well, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And what did Jesus do? He taught them. And we know the model prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, we hallow your name. That means your name is special. That means your name is sacred. And we pay homage to your name. Hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Why? because you see this? I'm tired. I'm tired of waking up every single morning and having to go and work for somebody else. And I still don't have 2 cents to rub together. I'm tired, Lord. Lord, I'm tired that every single time I drive home, right, I have to worry about the traffic and I have to worry about drive-by shooting. I have to worry about all this stuff. I'm tired that every holiday I have to warn people who are visiting me, be careful, don't take this route, take that route, because they're shooting people up there. God, I am tired. God, I'm tired of having to wonder where my kids are at night. Are they okay? Are they safe? Is everything okay? I am tired, Lord. Some of your parents know what I'm talking about. Thy kingdom come. Why? Because I want that your will be done here on earth exactly as it is in heaven. That's what I want, Lord, right? And I want your kingdom to be here right now because I can't wait, right? I can't wait, really. I'm here and I'm itching and I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my change. I'm waiting for my transformation. I'm waiting for my healing. Why? Because I'm tired of having all these knees busted, right? I'm tired of having this heart murmur. I'm tired of having this gastrointestinal issue, right? I'm tired, Lord. Thy kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, today, that's all I'm concerned about. Because I'm living from day to day. Because you know what my paycheck looks like, right? Today, give me my daily bread. Thank you, right? And also, God, I know that I need to forgive, but I have a hard time forgiving because of all the stuff that has happened to me in the past, right? I mean, I was just 6 years old when it happened, right? All that junk that piles up over the years. God, I am so tired. Thy kingdom come. Help me to forgive that person. Help me to forgive. I'm just talking, right? Help me to forgive that uncle. Help me to forgive that neighbor. Help me to forgive that father. I know I need to forgive, but I have a difficult time doing it. So what I want you to do is help me so that I can receive forgiveness in the same measure that I forgive others. Because I know that I'm not perfect. So forgive me my sin as I forgive those who sin against me. But God, don't leave it there. What I want you to do, God, is deliver me from evil. Because, God, you know, I'm trying to turn to you right about now. But the enemy, he wants me to go back, right? To the place I used to be. But I'm saying, I can't go back. I won't go back. So God, what I want you to do is, I want you to help me. Right? Deliver me from evil. Why? Because it's only your kingdom. So what Jesus did is he taught the disciples to pray. But the interesting thing here is that I keep talking about people who put their hand. I have a little problem right now. Hold on 1 second. And they pull out this bottle. You all thought I was reaching for this, right? They pull out this bottle, and they take a nice little cotton cloth, and they start shining it. Okay, God, now you can come out. What I want is, I want a raise, right? I want a car. Right? And we tell God all of the things that we want and we keep shining this bottle, and when we get it, if we do get it, we put it back. Right? And you see what happens is that unfortunately within the Christian community, we believe that God is going to answer every single prayer that we pray. But then my question is, why? A song came to mind. God is probably asking, what have you done for me lately? Right? I don't know the whole tune. I can't remember it. Okay? But God is asking, what have you done for me lately? I ask you, thou shalt not steal. But when you go to work, you clock in late, but you write in early. When your lunch is supposed to be 1 hour, for some reason, it ends up on paper as being 1 hour. You know what I mean? So thou shalt not steal, but yet you're stealing. Thou shalt not kill, but you don't actually kill people, but you hate your neighbor. Right? And God says, Kenneth, what I want you to do is I want you to go out that door right now. There's going to be someone walking past. I want you to pray with that person. And I say, God, well, I'm kind of busy right now, you know. You know, because I'm praying to you. So I find these ways of justifying my inactions or my disobedience towards God, right? And for some reason, we believe that God is going to be answering our prayer. But what we need to realize, my brothers and sisters, is that the people he was speaking to at that time, when he says, this is how you pray, when he says, whatever you ask in my name, you will receive it. The people who he spoke to when he says, ask, and it will be given to you. The same people who he was speaking to when he says, knock, and it will be opened. The same people who he was speaking to when he says, if you go before the elders of the church and pray, the prayer of faith is going to heal. Those people were disciples. Remember, Jesus says that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to be in the kingdom, right? I fear to say that there are many people who are saying, Lord, Lord, right now, who are not obeying God. You see, these disciples already had made the decision. They said, Jesus, you the man. Jesus, I will follow you. These disciples were already on that path. They had already gone through that repentance, recognizing that it's not that they did something wrong. It's not that God says, do not steal, and Kenneth went to steal. It's just that Kenneth recognizes now that, you know what, it's not a matter of stealing. It's a matter of who I am. Because what happens now is that we have that heart, right? You remember that heart? The heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Right? And God says that's the heart that has to change. So these were the people who were already disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, followers of the way, obedient to Jesus Christ, literally willing to give their lives to Jesus Christ. Those are the people that Jesus said, whatever you ask, you'll receive it. Answered prayer is not for everyone. I feel a little bit to say that. But it comes to the question, are we in the position where God would be willing to answer prayer? You see, prayer now is one of those things where it's how we connect with God, right? It's one of the ways that we worship God. I remember God says, you know, they who worship me must worship me how? In spirit and in truth. Does that carnal, evil mind know what spirit and truth is? I was talking with this morning with JB, and one of the things that came up was, we have this heart, evil, and it needs to become a heart of truth. We don't know what truth is. We don't know what love is. I want to know what love is. Y'all know where I'm going, right? And I want you to show me. Right? Because I don't know. I want you, God, to teach me. And what in effect is happening here is that Holy Spirit is saying, listen, are you repentant? Have you recognized that it's not that the stealing itself in and of by itself is wrong? It's you who are wrong. Your whole life, it's messed up. It's torn up from the floor up, right? And that's what needs to change. And since you don't know diddly about what love is and what change needs to happen, I need to teach you. So Holy Spirit now comes alongside and he says, okay, are you willing, since you know nothing, are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to give up 100% of your autonomy to me? Are you willing to surrender your life totally to me? Oh, by the way, he owns it anyway, right? Because remember that little incident that happened 2,000 years ago when this dude was nailed to a cross? Remember that? I remember when we came along, well, most of us, I look around here, we came along and we saw, well, listen, I want that. I want that sacrifice to be an atoning sacrifice for my sin. And what did Jesus say? Paid. Now I own you. And we said, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, I will do. How many people remember that? Whatever you say, Lord, I will do. If you don't remember that, we got a problem. Okay, because that's the agreement. That's the covenant. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do. But somewhere along the line, things sort of like changed. Where there are even some Christians, some believers, who say, well, I'll take this. Okay? Nah, I don't want that. God, you know, this part of my life, I'll give you total access to this part of my life. But this other part here, no, that's out of bounds. God, I do agree with me needing to submit to you. So I will submit on Sundays. The rest of the week, you know, God, you really don't know what it's like to be out there in the real world. Okay? And a brother got to do what a brother got to do in order to survive. Right? Am I lying here? Jesus says, I tell you the truth, right? But what happens now is that somewhere along the road, we lost our way. And what Holy Spirit is saying is, listen, trust me. I've been at this a little longer than you. I know what you're going through. All you have to do is submit. Do what I say, how I say it, and when I say it, and I'll take care of you. Because the bottom line is this. We can do it. So as Dr. Phil would say, how's that been working for you? Right? You see, we are not naturally inclined, and we have this battle going on between the flesh and the spirit, right? And our desire must be a desire to be transformed, a desire to move into what we call a newness of life. And how does that happen? Prayer. Do you think that God doesn't already know that you don't know that you don't know that you don't know? And if it is that he already knows that, then wouldn't it make sense just to go to him and say, okay, Dad, I don't know, right? Can you help a brother out? Or can you help your son out? And you know what? A very interesting thing is going to happen. He'll help you. Because sometimes I know that we are down on our knees and in 2 minutes we get up and you say, well, prayer's hitting the ceiling and I can't really do that. But you know what I've found? This is just my personal experience. That happens to me too. I kneel there and I tell God I'm not moving till something happens. And I say, well, while I'm sitting here, can we just chat? And I start a chat with God. And the interesting thing is that those same things that we are chatting about, all of a sudden I find myself start praying about those things. Holy Spirit leading us into that relationship with God. That is why we need the advocate. That's why we need the intercessor. And what it comes down to really is that we have this intercessor that's working on our behalf. Right? He already knows. But the main issue here now is, as the scripture says that was read earlier, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you want the blessings that flow from Jesus Christ in your life. All we have to do is two things, pray and obey. Or is that trust and obey? How does it sound with trust and obey? There's no other way, right? Trust and obey. Well, that too, three things. Repent. Are we repentant? And when I say repent, I don't necessarily mean only that, okay, I stole today, I had dirty thoughts today, I looked at that guy at the coffee shop and, oh man, he was fine, you know? And sometimes the mind goes, right? I want you to all know that it's not guys only look at girls, okay? Girls, you all look at the guys too, right? And I may have had some carnal thoughts. So the incident I go and I repent, God, forgive me, right? That's great. But repentance goes way beyond just repenting of an incident. It is repented of who I am. Deep down inside, in the pit of my stomach, in my soul, in my heart of hearts, who am I? I am evil. And what's happening now is that there's a transformation that's taking place. Holy Spirit is transforming. A lot of us, we believe that, oh, I got to go and work up some patience. I got to go and work on love. God, I need to have more the fruit of the Spirit. But what happens is that as Holy Spirit takes that heart and molds that heart and transforms that heart over a period of time, the natural outcome is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, patience, kindness, all of those are natural consequences of Holy Spirit working with our hearts. So we don't have to go and work on patience. Yeah, there's some work to be done along the way. Opportunities for patience always show up. They're called kids, right? So we have those opportunities for patience. I love you all, okay? So those opportunities are always there. But the issue is, who am I? I am a sinner. Except for the grace of God, I'll be dead. I'm dead man walking. Right? So what we're looking at here now is we're looking at repenting, being baptized, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. There's that song. Right? You all know that song? You all know? We believe in God the Father, right? Do we believe?
Yes.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and it's giving us new life, right? We believe in the crucifixion. We also believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. A simple song. But see, what happens now is that when we come to the point in our lives that we recognize that it's not just the sin that we are talking about, repenting of, it is the sinner, right? It is me. I am the one that needs to change. And it's only through that change that happens within me, through Holy Spirit, when that change happens, that's when we begin to have that close relationship with God. It intensifies. The more we change, the more intense the relationship becomes. But you see, we cannot have that relationship, and we cannot have access to all those blessings that we give up if we are not changing. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
Right? Because change is important. And I know that many times what happens is that we come to the point in our lives when we want change. We become tired. Physically, emotionally, mentally, we are tired. And the more that we keep trying to do what we did in the past, is the more difficult it becomes. Why not just give up? Right? Just give up. As we say, let go and let God. Because the way we've been doing it in the past, it doesn't work. Now, I know that the reason why we are here in church is because we're looking for change, right? We are looking for change. We are looking for something that could push us over that edge. We've come to that barrier in our lives where we want something. We are looking for an answer. We are looking for something. Is Jesus Christ that thing for you? Do you, and this is a question for each one in here, do you want the power of prayer to be unleashed in your life? Right? Do you want the blessings that come as a result of the unleashing of that power? And by blessings, unfortunately in the Western world, blessings mean money, right? That's not what I'm talking about. Just being in the presence of God himself is a blessing. Because what did he tell the Apostle Paul? My grace is suffice for you, right? That's a blessing. If you want that power of that blessing, I want you to come down here. We want to pray. If you've come to the point in your life where you truly believe that you are repentant or that you would want to become repentant, but you're stuck, we want to pray for you. If you've come to the point in your life where you're considering baptism, because I know back in the day, some people were forced into baptism because pastor said it's time to get baptized, right? If you believe and you're reconsidering or you're considering baptism, come down here and we want to pray for you. Those people will be helping with prayer this morning. Could you come, please? Right? What I want you to do is look within yourself. Right? This is between you and God. And as you come to that point in your life where you recognize that you're in need of help, you're in need of a Savior, what I want you to do is I want you to come forward. And someone here is going to pray a prayer with you, for you. Amen? Okay, so come on down. Don't look at the person next to you. This is between you and God. I know that some of you have been going through some struggles, and I know and God feels your pain. And you are looking for a way out. You're looking, and God says, here's the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am your life. Repent, believe, and be baptized. And you would receive Holy Spirit.
Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. In the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again.
Beliefs, right? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's giving us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Amen. We believe. crucifixion.
We believe in the crucifixion.
Conquered
death. We believe that he conquered death.
Resurrection.
We believe in the resurrection.
And he's coming back
and
again.
He's coming back again. We believe.
Lord God, our Father in heaven, we believe, God. We believe, Father, that you've created all things and that you want a relationship with your creation. We believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that he died and he conquered death, and on the third day he was raised again from the dead. We believe, great God in heaven, that you are God and there is none else like you. And we believe also, great God, that you can teach us, that you can show us, that you can enlighten us in the way that we ought to walk. So we pray, great God in heaven, knowing that you are God and knowing that you are faithful, that you will help us, great God, and this is what we ask for. We reach our hands out to you. Help us, Papa. Help us, Abba. Help us, great God, because we don't know what love is. We want you to show us. Dwell in us, live in us, and we, Father, help us to live in you. In Jesus' name.